Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How's everybody doing today? Amen. Before we begin, brothers and sisters, we all know that Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body, right? But today I'm going to share with you some things you may never have heard yet. Some of you may have heard. Some of you may even know, but still ignore it. Today, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. The original man. Can we dim the light? Thank you. The original man. You know, God created a beautiful, perfect life for us before the fall. He gave us no death, no decay, no sickness, no pain. But not only did he give us a perfect world in the beginning, before the fall, he gave us a perfect diet. Genesis 1:29. I'll do the reading for you, brothers and sisters. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and it which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So, brothers and sisters, he gave us an original diet that consisted of fruits, grains, nuts, and legumes. Legumes are beans, and brothers and sisters, this was the perfect diet. And we see today in our society that people are going more and more and more back to the original diet. But God had already said this first. So who gets the credit? God or man? Amen. God. We need to be Christ-like in all things. We need to be imitators of Christ. Let's continue. In all we do, we must give glory to God. Amen. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, brothers and sisters, if I were to stand up here today and tell you, I love Jesus, I forgive, we need to forgive like Jesus, but then the next day you see me and I'm telling you I don't forgive that person, what am I? Hypocrites. Practice what you preach, brethren. Let us continue. So that tells me, what temple are you for our scripture today? 1 Corinthians. Know ye not you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of the God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of him, God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy. What temple are you? What temple are you? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? A temple, brothers and sisters. The definition. A building devoted to worship or regarded as the dwelling place. In other words, the temple is the sanctuary. Brothers and sisters, you are the sanctuary of Christ. God wants to dwelleth in you. Now, what is the sanctuary? Psalm 77:13 says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You see, the sanctuary was a system, was a foreshadowing of things to come that Jesus would do in our lives. The Bible teaches everything in the sanctuary or connected with its service was a symbol of something Jesus would do in saving us. You see, brothers and sisters, God gave us the plans, the blueprint to our salvation. But a lot of the times, we have forgot because we are so consumed by the world. So I want to share with you today, brothers and sisters, what it is to be God's sanctuary. It consisted of three rooms: the outer court, the second room, the holy place, and the third room, the most holy, or the holy of holies. And in each sanctuary, each compartment contained furniture. What were those furniture, brothers and sisters? You see, through the plan of salvation, God, we can begin to find out where God needs us to be. A peculiar people. Titus 2, 11, 12 through 14. For the grace of God. For the grace of what? That bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Not any gender, not any certain people. Teaching us that. What is teaching us, brothers and sisters? The grace of God. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this future world. Present world, brothers and sisters, soberly. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you zealous of good works, brothers and sisters? Or are we only zealous when we need to be? Let us continue. Now, the first article of furniture. In this sanctuary, we are the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, but I'm sharing you now. The altar of burnt offerings was the very first one. Located in the courtyard, just inside the entrance, the altar represented the cross of Christ. The animal represented Jesus, the Lamb, the ultimate sacrifice. Spiritually, the altar to us means to confess our sins and forsake them, to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he came in our flesh and redeemed fallen man. The next article of furniture in the outer courtyard is where we all begin, in the outer courtyard. Located between the altar and the entrance of the sanctuary, the water represented cleansing from our sin or the new birth, baptism. Spiritually to us, it's to cleanse us of our all past sins. Whatever stain that is left in us after we're done confessing our sin, we need to be baptized and live for Jesus. And not our will, but his will. Continue. This is the second compartment of the sanctuary. Remember, brothers and sisters, we are the body. We are the sanctuary that God wants to dwell in. We must purify ourselves. As we take a look at the sanctuary, it shows us step by step where we need to go to be with Jesus. The second place, the holy place. The table of showbread represented Jesus, the living bread. On the table were two stacks of six piles of showbread, also representing 66 books of the Bible. Spiritually, we are to eat the living bread daily in Bible study and searching the scriptures diligently with all our hearts. Do we search scripture diligently? Do we study our Bible every day, daily? This is the second. After baptism, what we need to do, we need to continue down the path of righteousness. The holy place, the second article of furniture. The seven-branch candlestick represented Jesus, the light of the world. The oil represented the Holy Spirit. We are to be the light of the world as Jesus was. Remember, we are the body of Christ. We are the body, and Jesus is the head. We need to be like Jesus as the Holy Spirit allows us and guides us into all truth. Now, the altar of incense. The altar of incense is represented the prayers of God's people. We are to have a prayer life daily. It is said we are supposed to pray an hour a day. How many hours a day do you pray, brother and sister? 3 minutes? 2? 5? Let us continue. The third, the holy place, is where the Ark of the Covenant resides. The most holy place contained the Ten Commandments. The mercy seat was above them, which signified that as long as God's people confessed and forsook sin, mercy would be extended to them through the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. The blood of the animal represents Jesus' blood that was shed for us to bring us forgiveness of sin. The Ten Commandments were inside the ark. They represented God's character, which he implements within his people. God wants us to have a most holy experience. But a lot of times we like to get baptized, skip the holy place, and go straight into the most holy. But brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to study. We need to eat the bread of life. But many of us don't even do that. I used to not do that until I seek God first. I've only been in this church for 3 years, brothers and sisters, baptized 1 year. But I praise God he could use a foolish man like me to spread the everlasting gospel. Pasquale, I'm going to show you a video.
People aren't living longer, they're dying longer.
I'm a steak guy.
Fish.
Sushi, actually.
Got up as heavy as 518 pounds.
6 months, you'll be in dialysis or you'll be dead.
I can't have that one candy bar a week because I didn't have an off switch.
You're going to be on insulin the rest of your life.
I wasn't making any progress on the pills.
We see this kind of cancer, there's no known cure.
I was flat on a gurney and they were debating, do I have triple bypass?
I thought that my hypertension was genetic.
You're out of control and they were not giving me any hope at all.
We had the cure, we've had it for decades.
What we know from cigarette smoking is the public doesn't like to be lied.
We need education more than medication.
Can't blame doctors. They're not trained in this field.
I was really angry. I just could not understand why I didn't learn any of this in medical school.
The food industry, which is a $1 trillion industry, uses very similar kind of tobacco-style techniques, paying off scientists and funding studies.
What is on our plate is really affecting our environment.
We have been putting the wrong fuel in our body.
The Americans, Europeans, are being poisoned by these animal foods.
You can see what the person is eating by looking at the plaque. In their
arteries. There's a plaque right there.
We were literally bypassing the problem.
Without some serious lifestyle changes, this guy will be back.
Foods are the cause of diabetes, of heart disease, of many forms of cancer, of hypertension. And if they're the cause, they can also be the solution.
I had to really look at it to see patients that I knew should be dead by my conventional training, alive and well, tumors melting away.
The power is not inside of our hands as physicians. The power is inside your hands through your life choices.
Don't let your culture hold your heart hostage.
Many symptoms and diseases just melt away even after being there for years.
The doctor said this woman alleges to have lupus, but we're not finding any evidence of it.
Doctor says you're no longer diabetic.
The most important decision anyone makes every day is what they elect to put in their mouths.
I need to make a change, but what do I do?
In the nutrition classes that I teach, a big component of that is taking people to the grocery store and doing hands-on training and teach people label reading.
I think it is something that will really work. It's just my habits.
Probably 95% of America has no idea how to eat.
It's not so much about trying to invent a new way of life, but rather discovering the foods that are right here in front of you.
I think that's the gift of the plant-based diet, is it really kind of taps into all your different creative parts and you just start really experiencing a new variety.
This is my garlic Alfredo. It's just 7 ingredients. Just start out with chopping some onions, chopping some garlic.
We're on the cusp of a paradigm shift. To me, this is the future of food.
I can't imagine another way that we could have a greater impact on our health.
Standing in front of you is obviously not a hindrance in bodybuilding to eat whole plant foods.
To be able to push through 90 minutes and not get stopped by muscle cramps was an amazing feeling.
Food is powerful.
I've been in medicine for over 30 years, and for the very first time, I can truly look someone in the eye, and I can say, I can heal you.
Why isn't every person trying this?
It's the best thing that ever happened to me. It saved my life, saved my marriage.
It's really nice to do things when you get results.
Here, I was in control all along. It
gave me freedom.
This is where medicine should be.
Come on. What's on your plate?
That's actually a documentary you guys can look up. Now you see, brothers and sisters, how the world now is just catching up to what God already previously said in the beginning. So who's taking the credit now? We have forgotten the way. God has given us the original diet, brothers and sisters. Oh. What's on your plate? Science is just barely catching up about the use of flesh meats. The world knows how dangerous it is to eat flesh meats. God has already said in the beginning all of this. plant-based diet is better than a meat diet. Daniel 1, if you go and study Daniel 1, it shows the very first scientific proof that he took 10 days of pulsing water rather than the king's meat. And the children that Daniel was with were 10 times, 100 times smarter than the astrologers, the scientists, the Sadducees, and so on. Let us continue. This is the Lord's prophet 100 years ago that she said meat was dangerous. Disease is contracted by the use of meat. The diseased flesh of these dead carcasses is sold in the marketplace, and disease among men is sure result. Another one. The cause of much disease and sickness. Flesh was never the best food, but is used now undoubtedly objectionable. Since disease in animals is rapidly increasing, those who use flesh foods little know what they are eating. Often they could see the animals when they're living, know the quality of the meat that they eat. They would turn from it with loathing. People, do you know what you're eating half the time? People are continually eating flesh that is filled with tuberculosis and cancerous germs. Tuberculosis, cancer, and other fatal diseases are communicated. Another one. The liability to take disease. This is 100 years ago, brothers and sisters. 100. Scientists are just catching up to what the Lord's prophet said and what God said thousands of years ago. The liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. The animals are diseased, and by partaking of their flesh, we plant these seeds of disease in our own tissue and blood. Then we get exposed to the change in the malarious atmospheres. These are the more sensibly felt. Also, we are exposed to prevailing epidemics and contagious diseases. The system is not in condition to resist these diseases. From the light God has given me, the prevalence of cancer and tumors is largely due to gross living on dead flesh. We see it, brothers and sisters. Is pork dangerous? Many of us who love bacon. I used to love bacon. I used to put it on everything. The tissues of the swine, this is the Lord's prophet again. The tissues of the swine was with the swarm with parasites. Of the swine, God said, it is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch the dead carcasses. The command was given because swine's flesh is unfit for food. Swines are scavengers. Did you know swine? They eat their own excrement. They eat themselves. They eat anything that is edible, garbage. That is their lifespan, is to eat garbage. Why would anybody want to put that in their body? Because it tastes good? Brothers, we don't see what it's doing to us on the inside. Deuteronomy says it. And the swine, because it divided the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud. It is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcasses. That means you don't touch it, brothers and sisters. You see it at the marketplace, you touch it. It's unclean to you. And did you know, this is facts, brothers and sisters, that one 16-ounce steak has the same amount of benzoprine, which is a carcinogen, which is a cancer-causing germ. One 16-ounce steak is an equivalent to 600 cigarettes. So, brothers and sisters, if you eat 7 steaks a week, or four, let's try four. You times that by 600, that's 2,400 cigarettes. So who's worse, the cigarette smoker or the steak eater? Brothers and sisters, this is what God said in the beginning. Remember that. Don't get mad at me. I used to love these foods too. You'll see pictures. Don't worry, we'll get there. This is just the beginning. Let's continue. What does the world say? The World Health Organization has classified processed meat. This is recent. Including ham, salami, sausages, and hot dogs, all as a class 1 carcinogen, which means there is strong evidence that processed meats cause cancer. Red meat such as beef, lamb, and pork has been classified as probable cancer. These classifications do not indicate the risk of getting cancer, rather how certain we are that these things are likely to cause cancer. So they're certain, brothers and sisters. Let's continue. The American Association of the Advancement of Science, Washington, D.C. Meat is the third large cause of mortality. Meat is grossly wasteful in the natural resources. A non-meat diet results in a greater health and vigor than a meat diet. The non-meat diet reduces the risk of getting the killer diseases. Remember, God said, don't eat this, don't touch this stuff. But what do we do? We're still touching it. But then the world says, wait, you can eat it. But then what does God say? Don't touch it. Let's continue. Oh, excuse me. Whoops. So, brothers and sisters, today's message was it's a pretty strong one, isn't it? It's cutting home with me right now. But notice, what is it that we can eat? So what is it that we can eat? Notice in Proverbs, the principle, brothers and sisters, notice the principle. My son, eat what? Because it is what? Because it is good. So my son, notice, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. Now let's continue. In the same, Proverbs 25:16. Even though the honey is good, notice what God says about this good product. Eat so much as it is if sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled thereth and vomit. You see, God said, eat the honey because it is good, but the only amount we should eat is that which is sufficient. That's moderation, brothers and sisters. Biblical moderation. Now, remember, so therefore we should be giving all glory in what we eat, drink. So, brothers and sisters, let's continue. I know many of us still today, wine. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Brothers and sisters. Oh, thank you. So I don't want to take anything in my body that causes me to mock, be raging, or deceived. I don't want to put anything like that into my body, and I believe any intelligent person in here wouldn't want to do the same either. So therefore, alcohol doesn't fit drinking to the glory of God. But neither does coffee. Woo! Whoops. How so? Neither does tea. And what I mean by tea, I mean black teas and green teas. Did you know why? Because green tea almost has as much caffeine as coffee. So the very reason why we're stepping away from the coffee is the same reason we should get rid of the green teas and black teas. Because they have high levels of caffeine as well. But herbal teas, brothers and sisters, they're fine. Chamomile, your peppermint, those things you don't have to worry about. And some people say, but what about decaf? Decaf doesn't mean no calf, it just means low calf. Other words, it means not a lot of poison, but a little poison. God never calls something bad and says, have a little of it. Today, brothers, I told you, hold on. It's hurting me too. Let's continue. So, we are the temples of God. And if we put these things into us, we are not drinking to the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let's continue. Got ahead of myself. The buttons. These things are not what we want to put in our system or our temple, because we may be defiling it. You know, caffeine, it beclouds the intellect, benumbs the energies, excites the nervous system, then later depresses and exhausts the body. How many of us have ever taken coffee away and started feeling symptoms of headaches? Brothers and sisters, that's because you are addicted to it. What is that saying? Folgers in your cup in the morning? No, brothers and sisters, give me Jesus. That's all you need. You don't need Folgers. Now, these things we don't want to put in us. But water is drinking to the glory of God. The drink we hate to drink. Last Sabbath, we learned from Chuck Noss that your body weight has to be cut in half, and that is the fluid ounces you must drink of water in a day. Chances are, brothers and sisters, if you are a juice drinker or a tea drinker, you might not be getting enough water in your body. If we look at the amount that we must drink a day, and there's no time to be putting in juices and other things, brothers and sisters, the first thing to do is we have to get on our water. That is drinking to the glory of God. Jesus called himself water. He equivalated himself to water. I remember in John 4, Jesus went to the Samaritan girl and said, "You think this water is good? I have water that will spring up inside you, everlasting life, eternal life." And if we're going to be drinking juice, brothers and sisters, let the only ingredient be juice. Apple juice, let it be apple. There are so many other things in that box we can't even read, but yet we put it into our bodies. We gamble with our lives, but we never gamble with our accounts. I read 7 different ingredients. I'll drink it. Brothers and sisters, if you're going to drink juice, let the only ingredient be apple juice. So these things, brothers and sisters, if it's water, if it's juice, if it's, organic juice without all these sugars and additives, if it's herbal tea, that is drinking to the glory of God. All these other things we need to get rid of. We don't need to minimize it. We need to eliminate it. It takes time, brothers and sisters. This is a walk. Remember, we are the sanctuary. Each time we get into the next compartment, we strip away the things that are holding us down and say, "Lord, I want to be like you. I want to have a most holy experience." So, what is there to eat? First, what we have to do is find out what the Bible clearly states, the things that are clean and unclean, not things that are unclean. Excuse me. So the pork, the rabbit, web feet, web-footed birds of prey, shellfish, eels, certain things, those are all unclean. But brothers and sisters, we like to eat those things. Our bodies can't digest those things. Those are the most heart-clogging type of foods we could eat. It's very dangerous to eat so. And God says, "For my people, if you claim to be my people, you will not have any of these things." But the pig is not clean, unclean of itself. Romans 14 talks about that. A pig in and of itself is not an abomination. No animal is clean, unclean of itself. But God says it's clean, unclean to you because he says, "You're my people." And so God says, "I esteem it unclean to you." If today, brothers and sisters, we are eating all these things, these artery-clogging things, especially the seafood, God says, "This is not for my people." It might be for those who don't have government over their bodies, but for my people, this is not for you. This is unhealthy. Excuse me. And it's consistent, too. Sometimes people read in the Bible and think God's blood cleans animals. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God cleans animals. I read in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Christ cleanses us, people, of our sins." Nowhere in the Bible does it say it cleans animals of their sins. So the same pig that was unclean then is the same pig that was unclean back then is unclean now. And if you don't want to listen to Jesus and what he says in the Bible first, you can listen to the world. The world is saying the same thing. Pork is bad for you. These meats are killing you. We saw the video. The World Organization of Health is telling us these things are bad. Why would anyone want to put that in their body? So what about clean animals? So what about it? Let's find out what the Bible says. But before we do, there was a time when mankind began to eat flesh, and as a result, God said, I'm going to let you eat clean animals. But there was a certain rule. A lot of people aren't following this rule today. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb I have given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. God makes that very clear. And what's the reality of Genesis 9? Is that this was before Abraham, the father of the Israelites. This was to the Gentiles, before they're even Jews. So, brothers and sisters, the instruction was given before the Jewish law, before the Jewish people were even there. And if you're going to eat the animals, another rule applied today that was in that time. Leviticus. You must never eat any fat or blood. This is the permanent law for you, brothers and sisters. Permanent. In the King James Version, it says perpetual. And it must be observed from generation to generation wherever ye live. Do you eat the fat and the blood? Brothers and sisters, if this is something new to you, I apologize. But those of us who know this, we need to continue down this path. We need to glorify the body of God, our body. He wants to dwell in you. And this is why you read in the books today that are talking about health, the importance of a plant-based diet, getting off meat consumption. God already knew these things. He had it written. He had it recorded. But what happens? Men have the tendency to steal. They are stealing credit from God. So we look at certain men today and call these geniuses, call them geniuses, and here it is. God already has written it. And you know what God says to his people? Shame on my people. My people who know my word should have been teaching this and making it very, very plain. And now what's happening, it looks like it's like worldlings and new agers are ahead of even the children of the Most High God. It shouldn't be like that, brothers. So if some say that if I eat the blood of the meat, that is unhealthy for me, no, I'll go a little further than that. So in this context, 1 Samuel 14, 32-33, King Saul was causing his people to fight against the enemy nations. What King Saul did was that he made him fast before they were fighting. And you don't want to exert all that energy if you're fasting and fighting. You're going to be tired, you're going to be famished, you're going to be weak, you're going to be hungry. Now, there came a time where they had to eat, and this is what the people did. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen, calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord. What is it, brothers and sisters, to eat the blood? Sin. Biblically, it is a sin in that they eat with the blood of the animal. Now let's say, so honestly, if an individual was to insist on eating meat, I love my chicken, I'll die for my chicken, I'll never give up my chicken. Brothers and sisters, we got to be realistic. If we're going to eat, or at least profess to be godly people, we need to eat kosherized meat. And that's from, we need to go to these Jewish establishments where they remove and extract all the blood. Brothers and sisters, That was me. 227 pounds of pure meat. That was me 3 years ago, before I knew about this, what God had showed me. We're living in a time where the animals, not only themselves are diseased, but the products of them are grossly infused with disease. And we have people that say, well, I'm a vegetarian, I'm lacto-ovo, I don't eat certain things, but I'm still sick, just like the person who eats meat. So, brothers and sisters, God has given us an option that we can eat things that can put life into us and strengthen our minds. We need to start choosing life. My wife. We're not embarrassed to show this, brothers and sisters, because we want to show the glory of what God did in our lives. Today is a very solemn one, but brothers and sisters, I still love you. I still love you. We're all in this together. It's a daily walk, brothers and sisters. Don't ever think that you're doing something wrong. Just keep on pressing forward. It's never too late. Every day is a new beginning, brothers and sisters. God has already won. All you have to do is hold on to that promise. Now, my son, sitting right there, the one speaking up here, he was antisocial. He was suicidal. He was only 11? No, 10? 12? I don't know. I'm getting old. He ate all kinds of meat, sugars, junk food, video gaming 24/7. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's hard to get one of your children to sit down and read the Bible for 10 minutes. He could read it for hours. My son, Andrew. He was angry. He's a video gamer. He was depressed. He was unappreciative of things. There he is right there. He's a bright little ball of joy now. Always wanting to help people. That's after he found out what I was doing to my body was hurting me. But brothers and sisters, it takes the leader of the household to set that example. My daughter, Teresa, the little chubbies. She was angry, disrespectful, hyper-selfish. And she knows. She's over there embarrassed. But she's so loving now. She'll pray up here. She was never like that. My son, Ross, was antisocial. He didn't like anybody or anyone to talk to him. But look at him. He goes up to you and hugs you. Says, hi. God bless. It changes the way you think when you eat differently, brothers. You feel better. If you ever eat meat so much, me, myself, personally, when I was heavy set and eating so much meat, I was always angry. I was always wanting to fight. Every time someone would look at me, I would snap easily. But because of what God has done in my life, the sanctuary of myself, I wanted to give up all those things and be like Jesus, loving, caring. So, brothers and sisters, this is us today. Woo, big difference. This is a big difference. Because of God, I'm going to close out with two more slides. Whoops. The original design before the fall. Back to God's design. This is the Lord's prophet again. Again and again, I've been shown that God is bringing his people back to his original design. This is not to subsist on the flesh of dead animals. He would have us teach people a better way. If meat is discarded, if the taste is not educated in that direction, if a liking for fruits and grains is encouraged, it will be soon as God in the beginning designed it should be. No meat will be used by the people of God, his people. And now, Hosea 4:6. Why didn't I know about this? Brothers and sisters, it says right here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected the knowledge that the Bible has given us, so I will also reject thee. And thou that shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now that we know, brothers and sisters, we have a choice today. What temple are you? What temple do you want to be? Brothers and sisters, how many of you want to give your life to Christ? Praise God. But it starts within the spiritual sanctuary. God bless you, everybody.